more difficult to get into the schools as a civic organization nowadays. So before it was really easy to just, you know, drop in a class and tell something, I don't know, a presentation about homeless people in the city or something like that, or recruiting to any project, putting a project together. Now it's not that easy. They don't really like it. They even don't have time for civic organizations.
Hi, I'm Diana Filimon, and you're listening to Fund Action Talks, a podcast about sharing stories of activists around Europe.
First of all, hello, Agnes, and thank you for joining the podcast. It's been a pleasure reading about your project and your idea and your NGO, and it's amazing that you keep up such a good work in a pretty difficult context, let's say.
Thank you for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to be here and speaking about my ideas.
So that I don't, because I definitely will mispronounce the name, can you say the name of the association, please?
Yeah, it's Alternative Közösségek Egyesülete. If I would translate it, it would be like Alternative Communities Association.
Okay, I would definitely not be able to pronounce it correctly. I saw that it's in Debrecen, and it's been active for 20 years, so that's a lot of time. Congratulations, and please tell us a bit about Alternative and about how you joined or got intersected with them.
Mm-hmm. So since I'm a youngish woman, and I'm like 30 years old, I couldn't be the part of the association from the beginning, but at the same time I'm here from the middle ages of the organization. So actually the organization, if I can start with describing its work and process. The organization was established as a cultural association. So from the first time, it was not intended to do any civic participation or education among the young people, but giving them possibility to live their subcultural life and subcultural activities. So it was a little bit different in the beginning, and the aim was to help those young people who have different like hobbies or cultural attractions could make it in the frames of the organization. That means we really focused on those kind of young people who were part of a subcultural group, for example, who were part of skateboarding culture or graffiti culture or hip hop or rock or something like that. That was really different from the mainstream. And what else we did beside organizing programs and possibilities for them, that also helped the social workers to present these subcultures to them, to understand the young people around them who have different, you know, costumes or styles or lifestyles, and those to understand those young people who had a really no understanding from the adults. And that was the aim of the organization. And so at the same time, the target group was the social workers and also the young people. But then it changed a lot because we got a possibility. And at that time, I joined actually to the organization when the organization could manage to do an online radio station. And it was a big step in the life of the group of young people we were working with, because they could try themselves with a different tool and on a different platform. And it was actually a big opening for the outsiders and for the other people in the community for them, because they could make shows, even if it was only a show of music or nothing else, but they could also make talkings and really show themselves for the public. And then we started to make also, you know, meetings for the people who were listening to the radio, and when they can meet the showmakers. It was really good at those times. And that was the time, I guess, when I was volunteered in the organization. And that's how I joined to the alternative communities, because I really liked writing mm-hmm. articles. And at that time, the organization had a magazine as well. So it was like a kind of media organization, an alternative media organization, with an online radio station and also an online magazine. And I started to write as a volunteer on this platform, on this website. And that was the time when I joined. And the leader delegated me at those times to, I don't know why, maybe he thought that I'm able to understand, but he started to delegate me to trainings of civic, I don't know, leader trainings or young leader trainings or anything that was really about engagement of the young people. And that was the time when we met, and I met personally with new methods. And after years, with a lot of meeting of new methods, I met the method of community organizing. And that was the biggest change, even in my life and even in the organization's life, because I started to do this and many people in the organization started to do community organizing. That was a really direct help of engaging people in and asking them about their issues. And it changed a lot, the everyday operation and aims of the organization, since many people with many needs joined to us and we had to answer to these needs. And that's how, for example, one more and two more and three more groups just started to pop up around the organization. And that was a time when we realized we had to work with many groups and many communities and help them to, even if we also just learned it, but help them to make and keep those communities, help them to answer to the needs and organize themselves. And now that's actually the position we are now, that our organization is now helping groups in the region where we live in Hungary. So not just in the city, we have a big community center with many groups, and help them to both professionally and infrastructurally. From a little radio station, I should say, we became a bigger a community center with many knowledge and people that we can share in the region. So
that sounds so nice, and yes. it's a great story about the progress and how subtle you were drawn into civic becoming more civic from more culturally. I think it always happens because you start observing how many other problems are around, and you get caught up in this. But I would also and this brings us to the education problem, and I saw that you briefly presented in the application that you see a decay, let's say, in the education system in Hungary, and that they're not producing citizens. And tell me, how did this happen? How long have you felt it happening, let's say?
It's happening, I guess, since I don't remember what was the year when the whole education system was centralized in Hungary, but it was like 10 or less years, a little bit less years ago. And that was the time, I guess, it changed a lot. Because when they centralized the system, that meant that all of the institutions and schools belonged to, I said, all of them who were before financed by the government, but all of them after that joined to that institution, and even financially, and we thought that just so the change happened because of the just the financial change, but after a while we realized that not just financially but also theoretically and philosophically they become to be centralized. So that meant that even the books they had to choose was centralized. So most of the as soon as I know, most of the institutions has to use the same books for the students. They couldn't choose from, you know, the market as it was before. Even the books started to show just things that was the mostly the thinking of the government. You say I don't remember because I was not part of that, and I also didn't have anyone who was part of it, but when I talked to the director of that school with whom we wanted to make the participatory budgeting, he said that they really can't even make any decision without doing anything. For example, when we applied for this grant, and we applied also for another grant before together, before we could make the application, he had to send an email and ask for the centralized institution, the institution they are responsible for, and they had to accept it. Even it was just an application, not a contract or anything. And they didn't accept it first, so then we had to give more details, like how much money they would get, who will be the sponsor, everything, and then they could accept it. So they really don't have any independence in anything. And they don't even have a bank account for their own. So,
Sounds scary.
Sounds scary. And it happened many times that even if the institutions said and the government that it really don't change anything and they are possibly do anything they want, the directors and the schools, it happened many times and there was big trouble about when the government just suddenly changed, for example, a director in a school, even if the teachers and the parents voted for another man or woman. So it happened also. That's why we think, it's not controlled anymore by the people and by the professionals, but by the government. And sometimes, of course, I won't say that never, but sometimes they make good decisions and good ways and directions and give good directions, but sometimes really not and really connected to their, their aims and goals, what they want to do with the people and with the students.
Fundaction is a participatory grant-making fund for social transformation organized within a community of over 250 activists based in Europe. We act together in a democratic and participatory way to support our social movements and initiatives working towards a just and equitable world. Through this series of podcasts, we will engage with our members and grantees about their experiences and practices towards systemic change. enjoy their insights and be inspired.
So definitely this is part of a attempt, a successful attempt of controlling what reaches the young people. Is it?
Yeah.
What do you,
Even what we realized, and that's what I wanted to say, that I don't really remember because I'm too young for that. But as soon as I know and heard from my colleagues who are in the civic arena, it changed a lot that we, it's more difficult to get into the schools as a civic organization nowadays. So before it was really easy to just, you know, drop in a class and tell something, I don't know, a presentation about homeless people in the city or something like that, or recruiting to any project, getting a project together. Now it's not that easy. They don't really like it. They even don't have time for civic organizations. The teachers, because of the centralization, they have more bureaucracy, they have to fill more documents because they have to present to the bigger institution how they work. And that means that they don't have to present just for the director, but for also bigger institutions. And it means more bureaucracy for them and paperwork. And that's why they don't really need these, you know, added new things and projects from civic organizations. They just don't have time and energy for that.
And how do you, how does your idea of participatory budgeting in schools is going to improve this? How did you thought about it?
So I met this method in the United States in New York. When I was in a professional fellows program there. And what I really liked is the interviewing, and that I was involved in this process when I was there, the interviewing with the people and asking them about their needs and problems. So that experience meant a lot, and I always knew when I left the US that I really want to do this at home. I don't know why and where and with whom and in which frames, but I want to. And it happened 5 years ago, and I just found a call that was really about making something that you experienced in the US. And that's why this method just came to my mind that, oh, this is this method I want to use from the US. And I found my partners who were actually the best partners in the country who could help me. And we were thinking a lot with whom we can make it. It was definitely true that with a local government, it's impossible to do that. Because I also asked one of the vice mayor, because I know him, if we can make it with them. But I got a no from him since, I don't know, like financial things and problems. They just can't manage participatory budgeting in the budget of a local government. I didn't understand what was, but it was an administrational cause. We can't make it. And he was the one actually who recommended the school. And I said, okay, I can make it in a school, but what if I go to a school that is related to an institution called Klebersberg I was mentioning before. And he said that it's maybe impossible, but let's go to a foundational school. There are some schools who are not related to the government, but founded by a foundation. And they are independent in this way. So I had a B plan. If we can't manage in a school related to the government, I would go to a foundational school. But I didn't want to let the idea to be to do it in a public institution. So I tried it and asked one of my partners to help me in a school and do this. And actually, there was a guy, a director, who was really open for it and said that try it and do it until we are not stopped to do that. So that was the moment when we decided to do it together. Since we didn't get now any finances or budget or support for that, we don't know at what time or what period of the project would be stopped by the institution, but we decided to try it there. As we planned together, we the director said that we can do anything. The only thing we had to declare is that we can't give money to the school. So the school can't handle money. And that was the biggest important thing when we started to plan the whole project. And so we decided to, okay, so then give the money for the groups of the students and they will have to decide what they spent it for. And it could work like this. But we will see if we will really start it, we will see like how it happens and how it's going.
So take me just a little bit through the process. The idea is that the schools will identify what needs they have, right?
The students.
Like the students.
Yeah. So the process is like we will we planned to go to the school first at the first time, and we have three target groups that we really want to call. One is the parents and talk with them. The second target group is the teachers we want to talk to first and ask them and invite them into the process, because their role is really important. If they don't support the whole process, it won't be successful for sure. And the third target group is are the students, but they are the most important. So if we get the support from the parents and they understand the process, and then we get the support from the teachers, actually the door is open to reach out for the students. And how we do it, we plan to choose like how to say, five classes from the same age, and we plan to go to all of them and go to all of their classes and make them to understand and present them the process. And it's really important to change somehow the language of the process, since it's not easy sometimes to understand these students or even anyone how these democratic tools works. So we are not sure that they will understand for the first time what this whole thing, participatory budgeting method, and if they would understand their roles in it. So we had, how to say, non-use tool, but we also planned to make some trainings and even workshops for them just to understand what is democracy, what's their possibilities and ways of being an active citizen. Or something like that. So we will see how open they will for the process, and then try these trainings as well if they are not. And then if they understood the process and the participatory budgeting, we plan to make workshops for those who had some ideas and projects in their mind after that. And these workshops would be about clearing how and what they really want to do. And then each of them get a helper or a mentor, kind of like mentor, who help them to make a campaign for their projects and the final plan for that. And when they start the campaigning, they have to show actually for the other students what they have as an idea. So it's like really campaigning, like in the elections. So they could make posters, presentations, or just, you know, standing in the community space of the school and showing the people by leaflets or by just little talks what they want to reach. And then at the end, there is a big election, voting, actually, not election, voting. When the students could vote what projects they want to support. And after that, the implementation is the next step when they can manage to do their projects. And so those who were voted and succeeded in the voting could make, with the help of the teachers and us, the implementation. The idea was this to do in the
So basically you're tricking them into learning more about how democracy works and becoming more engaged, I say. And I think it's a great way to do it, and it sounds that they will become very interested in it. And just as a final thought, I know you mentioned that you are living in a region of Hungary where the far right is mostly present than in other regions. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you can see these effects of radicalization on the young people around you.
There were many surveys nowadays, and I just read one last week. That the biggest problem is not that they are really touched by the far right, how to say, philosophy, but they are touched by the effect of it. That is not understanding democracy. That is about not knowing what is democracy and what rights they have and what they can do in their life. That meant that in this survey, for example, I can search for it later, but I don't remember the numbers, that most of the young people are open for example, participating in a petition, an online petition, but they are really not open for doing democratic step forward a thing that they believe in. And I would say that it means for me that they afraid of doing these steps. And that's the result of this tendency in this region, that even voting is not really an interesting thing for them, because they think that it won't change anything. And that's the biggest problem now, that the far right make them to believe that whatever they do is it won't have the result, and make them under-motivated in participating of the civic life or being an active citizen.
So basically they want to grow them into apathic citizens, or
yes exactly.
Thank you so much Agnes for sharing your thoughts and taking time to talk to me, and I wish you all the luck in the world with this project, so it will happen and you can scale it and really, really push them, because it's very, very important to what you're doing.
Thank you, and good luck for you too. Thanks.